The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Constellation Field in Sugarland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Conor McGregor shows up late to the press conference. Nate Diaz is pissed off about it, so he walks out. Conor McGregor calls him and his buddies a bunch of crackhead essays. Cans and bottles start to get thrown around. It's stupid and it looks bad, but it's probably going to sell some pay-per-views. Conor McGregor always gets into people's heads. The problem is Nate Diaz is almost too dumb to play Conor's games. No one's going to care about Michael Phelps in 6 months.
6 weeks. It's not even going to take that long. Once football starts, all right. You're not going to remember a single Olympian's name.
You think he's the greatest Olympian ever?
He's up there.
Man, I've been watching that Usain Bolt.
He's pretty good, too.
He's pretty damn good.
But there's been a lot of guys in track that have accomplished what he's accomplished.
Yeah, but not with the same pizzazz.
He's 16 gold medals behind Michael Phelps. So 7 golds is impressive, but Carl Lewis had 9. There's other track guys that have done this.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number 3, 713-780-ESPN. Your number 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You are good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a 0, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776, and it is a What Are the Odds Wednesday. And it's been a very interesting show from AJ's discussion of his trip and maybe overdoing it with a cookie. And then we had Ryan Leaf on for 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's funny that I talked about possibly overdosing on marijuana. And then we transition into Ryan Leaf and sober living.
Although he was really good. All that's available on podcastarena.com if you want to check it out. First 2 hours, some very good stuff and all over the place, man. We got little Conor McGregor in, talked a little UFC, so pretty good. We've hit almost everything. We haven't talked Texans yet. I'm going to get to that next segment. But I wanted to get to this baseball thing because we've been getting a lot of What Are the Odds on Jose Altuve. Somebody had asked about the MVP, and we talked about it, and you found a story that applied to that. Somebody else had one. Here's an easy one. What are the odds Altuve makes it to 3,000 hits when his career is done?
20%.
Yeah, give him about a 20% chance. I mean,
it's a long way to go, man.
It's a long way. A lot of dudes
get 1,000.
Yeah, and it's good for him. He's faster than any Astro to 1,000, but none of the others that got there. You've got to be able to do it over a long period of time.
You've got to stay healthy.
You know? And he has been throughout his career. And with his size and his body style, I think he'll stay healthy.
Well, typically guys that run that fast, eventually something happens down there.
Well, yeah, or they start to slow down and you start beating out fewer hits. And,
yeah.
But I mean, obviously he continues on this track, sure.
No doubt. But yeah, I found an AL MVP power ranking written by a guy named R.J. Anderson. Who works for CBSSports.com. And he currently has Jose Altuve at the top. And he says the argument for Altuve goes like this. He's comparable or superior to Trout in every meaningful offensive category, and he plays on a better team. Altuve entered Sunday ahead in batting average, on base percentage, slugging, OPS plus, and stolen bases, and was just 0.2 wins behind in baseball's war. Yes, park factors matter, but what's more likely, that voters ding Altuve for his ballpark or that voters ding Trout for playing on a worse team? We'll bet on the latter. So then he goes to number 2, says Mike Trout. Number 3, Josh Donaldson. Number 4, Manny Machado, who, by the way, is also very, very good.
Yeah.
Number 5, David Ortiz.
Okay.
Ahead of Mookie Betts.
Yeah, that surprises me a little bit.
Listen, David Ortiz is having a fantastic year, and he's doing it in his last year, but he's also a DH.
Yeah.
And you've got to be just dominant as a DH.
Yeah. That's kind of your job is to go out there and hit.
Yeah, I said it's Mookie Betts at 6, who, by the way, if I had a vote today, he'd be my vote.
He's top 3 at worst, in my opinion. So far, this list kind of sucks, although I like that Altuve's on top.
Number 7, Edwin Encarnacion, who he'll probably finish first in home runs and RBI by the end of the year.
Yeah, I think he should be a little higher on
and
this
he didn't
list.
And he didn't even partake in spring training. He just showed up and started mashing. Number eight is where it got really weird to me.
It's already gotten weird to me. To be perfectly honest, Encarnacion should be higher. Betts should be much higher. All right.
What about Carlos Correa at number eight on the MVP power rankings?
All right, who wrote this? Is this Astros.com?
R.J. Anderson, who I don't believe has any affiliation with the Astros. He says, can you believe Correa won't turn 22 for another month? He's turned in a highly productive first full season, which, by the way, he has.
Yeah.
But it's nowhere near MVP level. Nowhere near it. He says, to the extent that, again, depending on how you judge his defense and how you weigh positional adjustments and the like, he could well inch closer to the top five. For now, we're parking him here with the exception that he'll make, or with the expectation that he'll make his big move up the ballots next winter. So he thinks that he could finish top five in the MVP. I don't see how. I can't imagine that's fathom. There's no way.
I don't see it.
Number nine, Francisco Lindor, who
I would put
is having a better season than Carlos Correa.
Yes.
And number 10, Mark Trumbo. You'll also on the list, Robinson Cano, Kyle Seager, Ian Desmond, Adrian Beltre, Xander Bogaerts, and Jay Happ. Oh, Aaron Sanchez as well. So a lot of guys on the also-ran list. But
the Blue Jay who should have been on the also-ran list, and maybe because he got off to such a lousy start and everybody thought he was done. Seen Troy Tulowitzki's numbers lately?
No.
What's
he up to?
He was hitting like 218 most of the year.
He was garbage.
257 now. And he's got 21 homers and 63 RBIs.
Nice little turnaround.
Yeah. So especially in the second half, he's been.
I honestly think Aaron Sanchez has been the best player on the Blue Jays this year. And
they're
going to make this stupid mistake that the Nationals made with Strasburg and shut him down.
Which I think is stupid.
And it's going to cost him because he's their best pitcher by far.
So few chances.
Yep.
So.
And you worry. I understand you're worried about him for next year and the years to come, but you win when you got a chance to win. You win.
Yeah, if you can do everything. If you have a legitimate World Series contender, you go for it. And you mess a guy up, you mess a guy up. I'm all for you win that ring, you get that ring, and then you worry about the future in the future. 48 says, thanks for telling me about the melting pot. I took my wife there for her birthday Monday. Got the Lover's Lane package. She loved it. One of the best dinners we've ever had. You guys rock. Stay sportsy, fellas.
Nice.
Good job, man. I love it when we sell the people.
Did it work? Because Fred guarantees sex with that package.
Well, I don't guarantee it. I just say if you don't, then something went wrong. But it sounds like it went well for you guys. So, anyway. And somebody brings up a point. Do you factor what they mean to their team? Altuve is way up there for that. No one else in that lineup is within 50 of his average. Oh, I agree.
You could say the same thing for Mike Trout.
Yeah, you can.
Who's the second best player on the Angels?
Crickets. Well, if Carlos Correa is number eight, to me that takes away from Jose being number one. I think he is to his team the most valuable player in the league. This team is not anywhere near 500 without him. So
I don't disagree with that. But I mean
yeah, he says it worked. So good.
Oh, there you go.
See, all right. I love it. I love it when I'm helping people out. Love it. Anyway,
I don't even know who I would consider the next best hitter in the Angels lineup. It may be Yunel Escobar. Very well may be Yunel Escobar. Maybe Pujols, who's hitting 249. So you can decide who you think is the next best hitter in that lineup. But, yeah, everybody's going to have some sort of flaw on them. And I'm with you. Altuve is very important to this team. And without him, they are a trash can, no doubt. But I just don't know if that's enough to say you're the MVP, especially because it looks like now they're probably not making the playoffs. If you finish two games out of a playoff spot or 15 out of a playoff spot, at the end of the day, you miss the playoffs.
I still think there's something to be said for being a team over 500 versus a team winning 70 games. I mean, that's
okay.
That you obviously helped the team.
You're assuming the Astros are going to finish over 500 then?
Well, I'm not assuming anything because I don't know what's going to happen with them. They're going to have to go.
If they finish below 500, you give up making an argument for them, right?
unless there's just not another guy that
is
clearly out there.
There's four or five other guys, which we've discussed.
And yeah, but again, it's just kind of a silly.
Because I've already written Mike Trout off. I won't give the MVP to Mike Trout because his team sucks too bad. And I understand, is he the best player in baseball? Probably so. That's a different price. They don't give out a trophy for it, but he's the best player in baseball. Jose Altuve this year, he might be the second best player in baseball. But if his team finishes below 500, in my book, you're not that valuable.
And that's why I don't like doing these conversations now, because I don't know what they're going to finish.
Yeah.
I could see them getting hot and winning a bunch of games and getting close to the wild card again and maybe even sneaking into the second wild card. They're not winning the division. I could also see them going on in a prolonged tailspin here and losing 8 of 10, and they're not even relevant down the stretch. And that changes the conversation. This will be a completely different conversation in 2 weeks.
They're now three games behind the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah.
Who
are playing their best play. And a month ago, you would not have thought that the Mariners were legitimately in the wild card race. But there they are. And that's why I say it's kind of hard. Because a month from now, maybe it's reversed. Maybe the Astros are back in. I don't think they will be. I don't like what I've seen out of this team this year. I don't think they're consistent enough. They don't hit enough, and they don't have the pitching they had last year. Add those together. Not really very excited about them.
You know the Astros have the same record as the Yankees.
Yeah,
now?
Yeah, and that happened a couple weeks ago. They when they dropped down there, they got the two games over 500.
The Yankees, who are having like a historically bad season,
and are trading away all their best players and cutting A-Rods. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's
unreal.
Yeah. So, oh well.
Well, yeah. I know people don't like to hear it, especially when it's about the hometown guy. But it's the same thing I said about J.J. Watt and him being the MVP of the league. If your team doesn't make the playoffs, you're not the most valuable player in the league. Because the most valuable player in the league will get his team to the playoffs.
I agree. And that's – I've always been with you 100% on that. And especially in the NFL, because there will be other options.
No doubt.
And usually the most valuable player is going to be your quarterback. It's almost always going to be the case.
But yeah. And in J.J.'s case, there were so many things stacked against him. The fact that he's a defensive player – he had to have such a phenomenal season to even earn his way into that conversation, and he did. But you knew it was unlikely he was going to win because he was sitting at home during the playoffs.
Yeah,
and that's I think the same thing is going to
apply.
And you had
a viable option.
Yep.
Because if you go look at the year that Aaron Rodgers had, it was just ridiculous with no interceptions at home.
Rarely do you not have viable options. Is the other thing?
No, but I think. It's easy to just give it to any quarterback, but in that case, if you go look at what he did that year, he more than deserved it. So if they had been able to get in the playoffs, I listened to that case, and I think you're right. It may turn out to be exactly the same way. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. I've got some Texans/Yahoo talk for you.
Okay.
And by the way, we're at Constellation Field, but do not come out here. Do not come see us. You'll never hear us say this when we're at a road event, but do not come see us. The game is rained out. They'll play 2 7-inning games tomorrow. So you can come check them out tomorrow, and it's Thirsty Thursdays, so they got beer specials and stuff like that. So please come check them out. Come any other day, but don't come today. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Hold my breath if I was you. Cause I forget, but I'll never forgive you. Don't you know, true friends stab you in the front.
And we are back on the Blitz. Texter asks, what are the odds the Texans are worse this year? Bottom five in the league. If Osweiler is a bust, I say hi. I think it's unlikely that they bottom out unless there's injuries, which can happen, of course. I just don't know what the ceiling is. I don't see them completely collapsing because defensively they should be a top five team in the league, even if their offense is crap.
Yeah.
And I think the offense will be better. I need to see more. And, I obviously from one preseason game, you can't tell anything. And the people overreacting, and this is – what I wanted to get on Yahoo about.
I think it's difficult for them to be a bottom five team in the league because, like you said, their defense is so good. But let's say that J.J. Watt's injury is something that doesn't heal up properly.
And Jadeveon Clowney never gets on the field.
Right. Let's say Dwayne Brown is never back, even a functional playing health. Just a few of those things could make that kind of a difference.
Yeah, you know, it definitely could. I think you can fade Dwayne Brown a little bit because I like Clark. I like what he does over there.
Yeah, but they're already having trouble with depth on that line.
And that's obviously a big issue. You need Newton healthy if you're going to have to live without Brown. You can't live with both your starting tackles.
And his
but, I mean, they're possibilities, but for all that to happen is kind of a doomsday scenario.
Well, and as great as J.J. is, or as great as the defense is, if you take J.J. off that defense, they're probably just a slightly above average. I don't think they're anything close to great without him.
No, but I still think they're pretty good. And that if you take him and Clowney never contributes anything, yeah. But again, you're almost checking off every box of things that have to go wrong. And that can happen.
Yeah.
But that's kind of unlikely that you're going to have all those things happen. And then throw in the fact that Brock Osweiler is a complete piece of garbage. If that happens too.
Right.
Well, at some point you'll wind up with Brandon Whedon or Tom Savage. And guess what? That's what you had last year.
Yeah.
Now if your defense goes downhill, if all those things happen, yeah, I think. You know, but again, that's to me. Those are such scenarios where you know it's hard to imagine everything going that
right.
bad. Just like it's hard for me to imagine
well,
everything
that's why
going
5-10% that they could right. that it could happen.
Right, but it's also why I don't think I could sit here and tell you, oh, this team's going to be a lot better this year because I think there's a bunch of things that have to go right for that to happen. And those are kind of the same questions. I mean, obviously, J.J. Watt has to be J.J. Clowney has to play and be good, which we really haven't seen him do. When he has been out there, he's had some impact. He's around the play a lot. He hasn't made a lot happen. He needs to be what you drafted him to be. And you need to have hit a home run on Osweiler, and you weren't here to talk about it, but
yeah, you need to hit a double with
Osweiler.
Yeah,
a double would do it. If your defense is that good, if you get that out of your defense, and again, this is the perfect scenario. You get all that out of your defense, and Osweiler comes out and goes 25-10 or 11, your team's really good.
What if you get what Fitzpatrick gave you a couple years ago? You're pretty good, right?
Well, and if you run – if Lamar Miller's healthy and runs the ball really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if he's Ryan Fitzpatrick from 2 years ago – you're doing okay.
Yeah. And I think those things are possible. But, again, now we're talking about everything going right.
Here's some other factors, I think, that we're not really talking about as much. But was Andrew Luck last year really what Andrew Luck is going to be? Are the Colts no good anymore? If they're not, then the Texans' chances of being really good go up.
Yeah. A lot depends on that.
And are the Jaguars really getting as good as everyone seems to think they are?
I think people are...
I do too, but
going a little soon on that one.
But would you, you know, most years you come into the season, you say, okay, well, normally what you say is the Texans are going to lose 2 to the Colts, and they're going to win 4 against the Jags and the Titans. I think that 2 against the Colts is less of a guarantee than it normally is, and I also think winning 4 against the scrub teams in the division is less of a guarantee than it normally is. You know, the Jaguars are better. Are they good enough to be a playoff team? I sure don't think so.
No,
not a team that's going to roll over for you and get spanked every time they come into your building either.
And they're not well enough coached to be a playoff team. I think that's the biggest deal. They need a new coaching staff. And the same thing in Tennessee. I don't think that's a very good coaching staff.
Yeah.
I think that's a better team. I like some of the things they did in the offseason, but I see mediocre to bad coaches on both of those teams. And I don't know what O'Brien is. I think he's an okay coach. I'm coming around on him. He makes too many mistakes in game with strategy that I don't like, but he tends to correct them also. And that team got better last year, which is one of the things I look for. It's hard for me to tell. I think it's whenever you remake an offense, which is really what they're doing. When you bring in a new quarterback, you're remaking your offense, and they've done it 3 years in a row now. And the way they mishandled the quarterback thing last year was a disaster. Texter says, what, Clowney, when he's been on the field, has been dominant versus the run, hasn't shown much in the pass rush yet, though. I haven't seen dominance versus the run. I've seen him make some plays, but not for what you brought him in to be.
Yeah.
I need to see more out of him, and that means him being healthy. So we shall see. Anyway, we talked about this Monday, that the people watching these preseason games and thinking, oh, well, Tom Savage looked better than Brock Osweiler, therefore he must be better, and starting to make arguments that Tom Savage should be your starting quarterback, which is just dumb. It's just dumb. No, Osweiler didn't look good. He threw seven passes. And if he stays out there and plays an entire half and throws 14 or 15 passes, maybe he gets it together. Maybe he sucks for another eight. We don't know. This is what preseason's for. And then I read this thing on Yahoo, and this is why people have these kind of reactions, and it drives me nuts. It made me click, I have to admit. Headline, open competition for quarterback for Houston Texans, question mark. And it's not even a Yahoo story. It's something they picked up from something called Cover 32 or something.
Yeah.
And Yahoo used to have its own people, really good ones, that go in there and write stuff. And here's how it starts off. One game down and one comeback win for the Houston Texans. Should this open the door to a competition at quarterback? And then the whole thing goes on and basically says, however, after his performance compared to that of backup Tom Savage, should the team consider opening up the competition between the two? Then he comes back and says, in short, no, and then goes into the reasons why. But to even have that conversation after one preseason game is dumb. And for Yahoo to do that, now people who have that opinion are going to grab that and say, oh, look what this guy says. And the reality is, hey, be happy that your backup quarterback looked good.
Yeah.
You need Osweiler to get better, but theoretically he will. And if he doesn't, then you're not going to know that until well into the season. You're not going to learn it from one preseason game. And to come out with something like this is just absolute garbage. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, I don't get that either. I mean, we talk all leading up to the game. Whatever you see, take with a grain of salt. It's preseason. Don't get all crazy about it. And then who gets crazy about it? Well, I mean, it's clickbait. That's what it is.
It is, and it worked because I clicked on it. It's just silly, and I get it. If you work for the team, then you're going to pump up a lot of this stuff, and the team website's going to talk about things because they want you to buy tickets and they want you to watch, and hell, I want to watch. But it's preseason football, and if we've learned anything over certainly during Bill O'Brien's tenure here, preseason doesn't mean a damn thing. You just need to get out there and get in shape. And people who take these things seriously because their job kind of depends on them making this more important than it is, that's just silly. I just hope people see through that. That's all. That's why I'm here, to help people see through it.
That's right. Hey, so, you want to follow up on the Gym of the Day story?
I do.
Martin County Sheriff's Office officials announced today that no street drugs were found in the initial blood test taken from the 19-year-old accused of fatally stabbing the couple.
So he's just mentally ill.
Just went crazy.
Huh.
Says they didn't know him before the attack. They found him on top of the husband biting and removing pieces of his face with his teeth. The first deputy who arrived tried to stop him with a taser, but it didn't stop him. More deputies and a canine unit were called and eventually overpowered him. It says that he's at the hospital now with non-life-threatening injuries. And it says it's unclear what led to the attack, but Snyder said Haroof had been at a Duffy's restaurant earlier that evening with his parents and walked away after becoming upset about the service. I hope he didn't get that upset about service at a restaurant.
Yeah, don't you just leave?
Is that the owner of the restaurant, perhaps?
I don't know. If the service sucks, I just leave.
Yeah, well, that's what this guy did, but leave and eat someone's
face. No, I don't go eat a face. Yeah. I don't kill two people.
You have self-control. This guy had no self-control.
But he looked like such a nice kid.
He did look like such a nice kid.
He's a good-looking kid.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Window World, home of the energy-efficient replacement window. And, guys, if you're not into this Window World thing yet, I don't know what you are waiting on. If you've got aluminum or wooden windows with regular glass, you need to check out the energy efficient replacement windows from Window World. These double hung, double pane windows from Window World offer American made premium quality with a transferable lifetime warranty that includes glass breakage. Installation usually takes just one day for the average home, and financing is available. There's a ton of benefits. You know, you're never gonna have to repaint them. They're easy cleaning because they're double hung, which means the top and the bottom both tilt. Financing's available. It ups the value of your home. There's so many great things about Wonderful Windows. I don't have time to mention them all in this commercial. Give them a call today for a free estimate. They'll tell you all of the wonderful benefits. 713-439-1172, or just go to windowworldhouston.com. It's Window World, simply the best for less.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Constellation Field in Sugarland, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. And I just saw some people walk in and we're told to go home because the game is rained out. And if you listen to the Blitz,
that's what you get.
You would have known that.
That's what you get.
Yeah. It's rained out tonight. Do not come see us at Constellation Field in Sugar Land, where you know it's still raining, by the way. It's calmed down. It's light rain, but it's still raining. So this is they will play 2 7-inning games tomorrow, and they don't get games rained out here very often. So they just saved it for when we came.
We've told a lot of sad stories today. We told the story about me being out of my mind on pot.
That wasn't really sad. It was kind of funny.
Was it funny?
Yeah, it was funny.
It was sad to me at the time.
I'm sure it was.
We told the story of the guy getting his face eaten.
Face eating is sad, yes.
I've got an uplifting story for you.
Okay.
You want to hear about it?
I'd like to hear something uplifting.
An Ohio man was arrested after being accused of trying to have sex with a parked van. The police were called about 8 o'clock last night for a report that a man was pulling his pants down and swinging on a stop sign. When police arrived, they said they found a man walking wearing black gym shorts and shoes. The man was identified as Michael Henson. This is a picture of Michael Henson. Just
okay.
If that helps you put this mental image in place.
Kind of looks like a leprechaun.
He kind of looks like the guy Eugene on Preacher.
Before he blew his face up?
Right, but like yeah. It's almost like he blew his face up a little bit, but not all the way.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because like, it's kind of like sinking into a little bit of a sphincter on his face.
I'm going to go with leprechaun.
Okay, that might work too. He appeared to be intoxicated. Officers put him in the back of a police car and spoke with the woman who called police. She told them that she saw the man standing near a parked van. She went on to explain that she saw him pull his shorts down and place his genitals into the front grill of the van.
Does this make this a rape van?
Kind of does.
Just asking.
The woman said he did this for a while, then appeared to pass out in a nearby yard. That's when she called police. He was arrested for public indecency and is now in jail. So there you go. That's your uplifting story of the day, Fred.
I don't think that's uplifting because you're missing the real victim here. This van was not bothering anyone. It was minding its own business. It was just sitting there, and this guy comes along and does this.
But it's better than raping a real person.
Much better, yes. In fact, if you're going to go that way, yes, a van is much, much preferred.
Yeah.
Texter says, I guess that's where Transformers come from. There you go. Well played, sir. Well played.
Did you see the Astros had to... had to lose this dude from the hooks.
The one that
apparently had some family violence. Mm. He was suspended by Major League Baseball today and minutes after the Astros announced that he is released.
Wow.
Yep.
Must not be that good.
Not good.
Well, is that Cuban guy ever coming up?
I don't know. He apparently sucked in Double A, but then he was up at Triple A and he went like 3 for 4 with a double and a homer his first game in Triple A. So they'll probably get him up pretty quick. I'm still getting a lot of tweets about, you need to give credit to Alex Bregman. Give credit where it's due, Alex Bregman. And he's hitting 300 over the last 10 games or something like that, which would be fine if he didn't hit zero over the first 10 games.
Yeah, I expect him to, he's doing better, but I can't give him credit yet because I still don't see a major league hitter there.
He's still not hitting 200. I mean, yeah.
And I think he will
eventually, just not probably not this season.
Mott says, obviously, I don't realize Texans play Cowboys in preseason four. That's when preseason lunacy really happens.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Hell, there were Cowboys fans tweeting me about Dak Prescott. And I'm like, what? And I didn't even see him play. I was stoned on a razor in New Mexico. So I had no idea.
Well, Dak Prescott looked great. So
yeah, I saw his stat line. It's very impressive, but come on.
I like the guy a lot, but it is preseason. I know people want to read way too much into it. I don't know. Well, I'm always going to beat that drum that preseason is absolutely meaningless and that you just don't want to get guys hurt. The good thing that you can look for is guys who might make the roster who might help down the road if you have an injury.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like Charles James would have been fun to watch last year in preseason games. It's like, hey, that's a guy that might earn a spot. But you already know what J.J. Watt is. Jerome and I were talking about this Monday. Why was Vince Wilfork even out there?
I don't know.
I don't want to see. I don't need to see anything out of him. I mean, he's. You don't want that guy getting hurt in a preseason game.
No, of course not.
And yeah, it's. But fans will want to. You're not going to get any bragging rights, Cowboys fan or Texans fan, if you win a preseason game. So.
Oh geez, I'm finally. I didn't read the whole story about what happened with this Hooks player. Did you read about it? Exactly what happened?
Yeah.
Did you guys talk about it on the show?
No, we didn't.
Apparently, he, inside a Whataburger Field stairwell, Danry Vasquez backhanded his girlfriend three times. Footage of the attack was captured on surveillance video, and it prompted Hooks officials to call the police the next day. Well, it's a good thing. Good thing this kid played for the Hooks and not Baylor. Otherwise, we would have never known.
Shame.
They say we take this allegation very seriously. Clearly, they did. So he's no longer on the roster. That's pretty – and apparently they discovered the footage on August 2nd, and apparently, the day when they approached him about it, he tried to threaten the guy who approached him about it. So
that's a good way to get it done.
Yeah. The first slap knocked her glasses off and sent her tumbling down the stairs. Then he struck her again. When Vasquez left her, he returned 2 minutes later with the male Hooks employee and appeared to have a heated conversation with him. Vasquez struck his girlfriend a third time, knocking her glasses off again after the employee left the stairwell. The couple left together. So,
Who goes home with that guy after that?
I don't know.
Jeez.
I don't know. That's an ugly story, though. Good thing I told that heartwarming story of the van rape before we got to that downer.
Oh, boy. I'm looking at the Mega Doppler. It looks like everything's moving up into Conroe now. So,
okay.
For those of you who are out and about and trying to get home. So, there you go. Marcus says, two words for preseason, Victor Cruz.
True.
It's fun to watch the games. I just don't put too much meaning into them, and don't start writing stories about open competition for quarterback after seven passes.
Yeah.
Just stop. I don't know. I that really bothered me for some reason.
Yeah.
Here it is. It's Yahoo. This is a site I used to trust, used to go to get stuff for the show, and this is what I see out of them. Anyway.
All right, guys. One more time, I'm going to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions and their fantastic product, Carvestone. If you've got an ugly old patio or a pool deck, there's a way to fix it without tearing everything out and starting over, because that is a pricey experience, and it's going to be a pain in your ass, quite honestly. That's where Carvestone comes in. It renovates your old pool deck or your grayed-out patio with an overlay. Gives you a superior look of real stone on top of your existing surface, and it costs a lot less. It's trowel hand-carved, custom-colored for your home, so it's going to look great. It's slip-resistant. It's twice as strong as concrete. In fact, Allied Outdoor Solutions stands behind Carvestone with a 7-year warranty on the stuff. If your backyard's currently a blank slate, they can build it from the ground up. Functional concrete patios all the way to the outdoor kitchens and patio covers you've been dreaming of. They can do residential and commercial projects, and they can help you save money too. They've got several monthly payment options. They even offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. With all that, it's no wonder they're the 2015 Angie's List Super Service Award winner. Get a Carvestone overlay for the look and feel of less, or look and feel of real stone for less. from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, or check out the Carstone Projects photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. Or give them a call for a risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400. That's 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions. When my peoples come back black, I'm living where the nights is jet black. The fiends fight to kick L's, I just max. I dream I can sit back and lamp like Capone with drug strips on. ESPN 97.5. All right, guys, got to tell you about dirt-free carpet, and if you don't know by now, you should, that most carpet cleaning companies will leave your carpets dirtier than they found them, believe it or not. That's not the case with dirt-free carpet cleaning. The other guys leave behind too much water, soapy residue, unhealthy chemicals that trap dirt and allergens that can make you sick, can make your kids sick, can make your dog sick, can make everybody sick, and no one likes being sick, guys. Call dirt-free carpet cleaning, 281-DIRT-FREE, and go chemical-free with dirt-free. They use powerful engines to create high-pressure steam made from their patented super water. Your carpets are fresh and deep clean without soap or unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals. They've been doing this for over 30 years, guys, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. Call Dirt Free Carpet right now, 281-DIRT-FREE. Tell them you heard about it right here on ESPN 97.5, and they'll do three rooms of carpet for just $99.95 and throw in a free speed dry to the first 25 callers. That's 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free Carpet.
Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Constellation Field in Sugarland, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. One final segment. Football's in the air, and ESPN 97.5 is gearing up for the season at Nick's Place. Join the station each Thursday when John and Raheel will broadcast live.
With Dell.
Well, Dell's not there, though.
But John and Raheel with Dell is the name of the show.
But John and Raheel will broadcast live beginning at 10 from Nick's Place.
Okay.
Dell will not. So Dell will be in studio.
But the show is still called John and Raheel with Dell. That show will broadcast
live.
But
listen how this is worded. When John and Raheel will broadcast live, they're broadcasting live from Nick's Place. That's what it's saying.
Okay.
Beginning at 10 from Nick's Place. Dell will not be
there. I just don't like saying the name of that show without saying with Dell.
Well, I know there's some big issue with Dell and Nick and why Dell is not at Nick's. So,
well, isn't it just kind of like Jong, how he...
I guess. I just think they made something out of it to be funny, probably.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, meet the guys at the best neighborhood Italian food and drink spot in Houston, Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge. Hustletown with Craig Shelton, Jermaine Every, and Angela Lawford are coming up next. And 281 text, poor Glenn still in shock. We pulled an AJ on Glenn Davis yesterday. We made him watch the Shake That Bear video.
Oh, boy. How did he like it?
He was disturbed, to say the least.
I would say so, yeah.
He was a good sport about it. But isn't that the kind of thing you want to show to somebody who's kind of as straight-laced as Glenn is? I did call that he would say something that had to get dumped. He did.
Yep.
But anyway. All right, let's wrap up the show on a positive note, as we do every Wednesday, with famous people who have passed away. And we start with 2012, Phyllis Diller, American actress and comedian, natural causes at 95. That's about as good a run as a human being can hope for.
That is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's almost too good.
1977, Groucho Marx dies at 86.
All right.
Pretty good run. 1956, Bela Lugosi, dead of a heart attack at 73.
These guys made it a long time.
Yeah, 73 is a little... But that's 56, so...
Yeah, back then, 73 was... That's like 80, 90 now.
2008, Gene Upshaw, former football player and union leader. 1227, Genghis Khan. We don't have an age for him.
No age.
And in the year 14, Augustus Caesar, the first Roman emperor.
We have an age on him?
Well, he was born in 63 BC. He died in 14. It's a pretty good run for then. In 1991, this is not a good run. I don't know how long. I thought whales lived a long time. Shamu the Whale, 16, 1991.
Yeah, that seems shortened. Have you ever watched that SeaWorld documentary or that anti-SeaWorld documentary?
I have not.
What's it called? Blackfish? Yeah, I haven't watched it either.
I
don't want to feel sad. That sounds like that movie will make me feel sad. I don't need to feel sad. I like just being emotionless about things.
Or I like laughing or looking at something saying,
yeah,
wow, this is cool. Okay, 1988, Enzo Ferrari. Dead at the age of 90. Went into that great garage in the sky.
Yep.
And 1888, John Pemberton, pharmacist and inventor of Coca-Cola, dies of stomach cancer at the age of 55.
Shocker.
Poor and addicted to morphine is what it says.
Shocker.
Yeah. 1951, William Randolph Hearst. I once worked for, well, not him, but the Hearst family. Hearst
Wasn't William Randolph the second baseman for the Yankees in the 80s?
That was Willie Randolph.
This was his son.
This Willie is Randolph William Randolph son. Hearst, dead at the age of 88. And there's a great line in that. I think it's
But hard. Willie Randolph is alive and well.
Well, I don't know that. I haven't heard from Willie
John,
in a while.
John, can you do some research and let me know if Willie Randolph is doing well? Where are they now?
If he's dead.
That's really sad.
Yeah, that would really put things on a downer for us.
Yeah, and we already had the Van Sex story to bring us up. I don't have anything else that's going to uplift.
Well, we do have a dead porn star, so
okay.
that might solve it. Did you ever see that RKO 281? It was about the making of Citizen Kane.
No.
It's actually very good. You should watch it.
Why would I watch that? That sounds terrible.
No, it's
the
fantastic.
The making of Citizen Kane?
Well, it's only what was considered the greatest movie, you know, number one on everybody's list. Up until
yeah, but that's not the best movie. Where's it on your flick chart?
I have no idea.
It's nowhere near the top.
No, it's nowhere near the top. But the
overrated.
The making of it was much more interesting. It's about how it's one of those behind-the-scenes things that you would really like, believe it or not.
Okay.
And anyway, the guy who played William Randolph Hearst, well, he did a great job of it, but the guy, Hearst came off as a dickweed. Anyway, 1949, Margaret Mitchell, U.S. writer of Gone with the Wind. She was gone with it at the age of 48. 2007, Eddie Griffin, basketball player, born in 82. That is not a good run.
No.
77, Elvis Presley.
Elvis.
Dead at Graceland at 42.
On the toilet, no less.
Yeah, on the toilet. Official cause of death is cardiac arrhythmia.
But,
yeah.
It was drugs and fat.
Drugs and fat and peanut butter and banana sandwiches. In 1948, at the age of 53, Babe Ruth hit the last
one out.
The
great Bambino.
Hit his last one out.
Not on the toilet.
No. Not quite sure what he died of, but 53. Those are not good runs.
No, but he, like Elvis, was a hero to most and lived a hard life.
He had fun, though.
He had fun.
And finally, we have one dead porn star. This is going to be an interesting one. He just sent me a link to Willie Randolph, but I'll give the name first. 1979, Mary Millington, on August 19th, passed away. 1979.
Oh.
Mary Millington died from...
I'm going to go with suicide.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Yes. Committed suicide.
Yeah. Did it say how?
No, it just says she committed suicide. I'm going to guess asphyxiation or something because that's usually what they do. Apparently, John sent me a story saying Willie Randolph wants a major league coaching job and not sure why he can't find one. He's 61, serving as a guest instructor for the Yankees in spring training last year.
All right. Good to know that he's alive.
So he's alive. I don't know about well, but he is alive.
He's alive. He's kicking.
All right. We are going to wrap this puppy up. If you want to come to a Skeeters game, tomorrow is your day.
Come to two tomorrow.
Yeah, you'll get two of them.
First pitch at 6:15 and 2 7-inning games.
And beer specials, so come check it out.
Thirsty Thursday.
All right, want to thank Jong Lee for doing a great job back in studio. He whose name we shall not speak for doing a great job out here. A.J. Hoffman, good to have him back. Also, A-plus job for all three of them. Myself a serious D today.
A strong D?
A strong D.
Good for you.
We're going to wrap it up.
You love that strong D.
Oh, yeah. He does. Get out of here. Stay sports, you bitches.
ESPN 97.5.